Jesus. Time, baby!
Jesus is the real star. I'm just his hype man.
Come on.
In your face section with Pete Cabrera Jr.
Oh, Jesus, baby.
Hey. Hey guys, my name is Pete Cabrera Jr. with Royal Family International University and School of Identity and Lifestyle. And you've been listening to the All Jesus podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about how to begin to renew and how to begin the process of renewing the mind, part two. And we're going to be addressing the thief of the mind. My God, what does that even mean, a thief in the mind? What does that even mean? Let's talk about it. Just think about that. My God. My God. Hey, you know, it's very interesting because we got an alarm system on the building. You know, we got an alarm system on a car. We got locks on our doors. We got locks on everything, man. We got padlocks. We got security on our phones, you know, on our iPads. We want to control everything because we don't want nobody to steal nothing from us. We don't want a thief to come in while we're sleeping and take our stuff. We don't want a thief to come into the car, you know, steal our stereos. We put alarm systems on it. You know, we put fences up. We get dogs. We get all this stuff to make sure that there's no thief that's going to rob us. We try to keep people, you know, honest, you know. But have you ever addressed the thief of the mind? You know, it's very interesting because, you know, a lot of us are afraid of the thief in the alley, but what about the one who's stealing? You know, Jesus said the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But we don't ever address the enemy of the mind, like how we think and the ideas and the thoughts and what robs us from the dreams and the vision that God has given us. And did you know that it's a mindset that does that? It's how you think about a certain thing. It's what you obsess over. You can become obsessive about certain thoughts. And one thing that I've realized is that depression, if you don't know what depression is obsessing over the problem to the point that it cripples you. And that's what it's all about. It's about obsessing and thinking about certain ways the wrong way. And, you know, when people tell me I'm depressed, you're not depressed. You're just thinking about your problems and you're thinking about yourself to the point to where it's depressing. And you know what? If you were to think about yourself all day long, I'd be depressed. If I had to think about you all day long, I would be depressed. If I had to think about anything all day long, that would depress me. The only thing that won't oppress or depress you is thinking about God and the goodness of God and giving thanks and being joyous and going around doing good. Like, these things take your mind off yourself, which is very interesting because one of the issues in the garden was that he said, I heard your voice, so I hid myself because I was naked. Oh, so you're looking at yourself now. So you're naked. It's about you now. It's not about what God said. It's about you. So you're hiding because you're naked. How about you don't hide because God loves you? How about you don't hide because he wants you in his light? How about you come out of hiding because it's about who he is, not about who you are? And that's a crazy thought if you think about it. You know, I was sitting at the restaurant a couple of days ago, and I was listening to this conversation because, you know, I got there a little bit early. I have this pastor's meeting in the morning on Fridays, every second Friday or twice a month, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for it. I get there early because I go to the gym, and I'm there, and I'm just sitting there, and it's only literally 2 minutes away, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting, and I'm listening to this conversation, and I'm hearing this one person, this guy, talk to this other guy about the situation that happened in his job. So I just sat there. I was kind of eavesdropping a little bit. I wasn't trying to do it. You know, I wasn't being disrespectful or anything. I'm just kind of listening in to hear the conversation. And my God, man, that's a one-sided story. I was thinking, man, I wish the other guy was here because I would love to hear the story that he has to say, because the way this guy's painting it out, because guys, we're never the villain in our own story. We're always the victor. Like, everything about what we do, because, you know, we want to protect ourselves and we want to make sure that people see us a certain way in a certain light. So we're not going to call it how it is. We're going to say how we saw it. And how we saw it's not usually how it is. And how it is, to, if we could be honest, isn't usually what we think it is. Right? So this person just saw it, and I'm just sitting here thinking, is that the narrative that he got from it, or is that actually what happened? Because he's speaking, this is what's happening, this is what the other guy was thinking. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, what if the other guy wasn't even thinking that? What if the other guy wasn't even remotely in the same, you know, in the same train of thought? What if he was somewhere else and this guy just creates this whole world, this whole narrative? And so now he has this anger towards this person, and this person probably doesn't even know. This guy was painting a narrative of somebody else. He was painting a narrative to somebody else about him, which means that whether it was true or not, this person is not going to receive that as truth, even if it's not, because he's going to be listening. And so this person's creating a narrative about this person that this person doesn't even know. So now if this person ever sees him, that's how he's going to see him. He's creating a narrative with his words. And this is what I want to talk about, that your words create a narrative. What you say has power. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a marriage or in a relationship, or, you know, just in general at work, and you get into a confrontation and you begin to let words fly. Words aren't just words, man. Words, they linger for a long time. And like they say, you know, words are little seeds that can grow into flowers or grow into weeds. And everything that we say is going to produce everything. It doesn't matter what you say. Is going to produce. But I want to talk about the garden in the mind. Because 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's through the knowledge of him. Did you know that you could be fruitful in your mind? You could be fruitful in how you think. As you down throughout the verse, it says that you could be fruitful in thinking a certain way, which means that the mind is a garden. And you can push the issue, or you could tend the issue. You could push someone, argue with someone, or you could tend. What I mean by tend is you can take care of what it is that you're saying. You can take care of what you're planning. You could. I say this because I do this with my wife a lot. I have to take a deep breath, and I have to think about my words before I say them, because they're going to produce. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say this, because this is the All Jesus podcast. It's all about who he calls us to be, right? If your spouse is not what you want them to be, 9 times out of 10, I can almost guarantee you it's what you're saying about them to their face. And if they're not that to you in your face, what you're saying behind your breath is how you see them, which means that you are creating a narrative that is now speaking on behalf of your husband. Now, if you are a husband and you have a wife that is dealing with certain things, and you speak a certain way, then you are so, and she's going to reap that. She's going to reap what you say. She's going to reap it. And if she doesn't reap it there, she's going to reap it here, because how you see your mate, how you see them mentally, physically, and how you address them emotionally, all that will manifest. And so the mindset is very powerful in how you see things and how you think things through. And you know, I've learned a lot these last 3 years, man. Like, if you guys know, I shut down, man, completely, because I had to save my marriage. I had to save my home. I had to save everything, man, because there was so much going on. And I had to address some things, man. I had to do some work. I had to do some inner work. And did you know that some of the work that God wants to do, he can only do through you. He won't do for you, which means that if you're hurting in your heart, he will remove that pain, but you're going to work it out. You're going to think it through. You got some unforgiveness. You got some stuff you got to deal with. You got some realities you got to address. There's some words you got to say to yourself. There's some thoughts you got to address. There's some actions and some habits that you have to control. And this is the part of the kingdom that we don't even talk about, because we have so many people. And when I say this, guys, I don't mean this in a rude way. I say this with all the respect and humility in my heart towards God, because this is God's sheep that I'm talking about. So this isn't an attack. This is a reflection of what I see within the body, is that I see a lot of people that are so spiritually minded and so focused on angels and spirits and so focused on everything that's out there, that they never address the core of who they are. They never address the core of walking out anything. They don't work on their relationships, their character, their emotions. They're all over the place. And so what most people will do is they'll go into hiding, and they'll stay there, and they'll live there, And I don't know if you guys know this or not, ladies and gentlemen, but Jesus came in a body. If he wanted to stay invisible, he would have did it, but he came in a body for a reason, because we got work to do. And there's a lot of things that we have to address, and there's a lot of lies and narratives and things, and it's very, very interesting. So one of the things that I learned in my marriage about this is that everything that I usually think about when I'm upset is not true. It's an emotion-driven thought. And you have two thoughts. You can have the thought that you want to have and the thought you should have. And the thought you should have is always, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. I love you. I'm here to serve you. It's not about me. It's about the Christ. And man, it gets hard. And that's just in a marriage. I'm not even talking about in the world. Now, when you're laying hands on the sick, it's a whole nother animal. It's a whole nother beast how you train your mind. The mindset and training out in the field is a whole nother monster. Which this is something that for some reason, and we got people. I got like, you know, Cameron Garner's the guy that I work with, and he's addressing some stuff, right? Tom Loud, he addresses some stuff, right? I got guys that I work with. We got alumni, people around the world that address certain things. They're growing certain things. Or Rory, you know, he's a teacher in the UK. He addresses a lot of this stuff. You know, Conway, Joel out of the Philippines, he addresses it. Dieze, these guys, they address this stuff. And this is the stuff that you sit down with people and you say, hey, you could tell me about who God is for you all day long. And we know that. The Bible tells us who God is. In fact, anybody can tell you who God is for them. Anybody. The key is walking out who he is. That's the key. So don't tell me about who he is for you. Live it out. Show me who he is for you. This is a show and tell gospel. You got to show me the Christ. You got to show me what you're about. Look, now faith is, right? And what will happen is your mindset will come in and it'll start causing this thing, right? There's this thing that happens. You know, there's a difference between condemnation and guilt. You can be guilty about something and you can be dealt with. But what will happen is you'll live in condemnation, which means that you just can't let it go. You will condemn yourself. Man, I shouldn't have did that. Why'd I do that? And you'll get stuck there. And this is what will happen. It'll turn into a habit. It'll be negative thinking habit. You'll get stuck in that habit. And it becomes a habit how you think. If you start thinking negative and that's all you do. And did you know that what you focus on the most will grow? And so if you're focusing on your problems, they're going to grow. If you're focusing on your issues, they're going to grow because you're giving all your energy to that. Look, guys, and when I say this, I got to watch how I say this because there's certain circles that are going to be like, oh, peace, turning on new age. No, there's spiritual energy whether you like it or not. And spiritual energy is what we call dunamis, the dunamis power that flows, right? So there's spiritual energy. How do you know? Do you walk around? Yeah. Are you a spirit? Yeah. What has your body moving around? Life, strength, no, it's the energy, it's the power, it's the dunamis, it's the activation of power. It's a force, right? And love is a force. Love is an energy and a power, right? People say, oh man, you're using love against people. It's a weapon, man. It's a force, right? You overcome evil with good, right? Love triumphs over evil. So love is powerful. It's a weapon. It's a force that has to be reckoned with. It has to be reckoned with, whether you want to or not. So what's interesting is that what we're focusing on as children of the kingdom is very important because, like I said, your mind is a garden, man, and tares grow there. Tares grow there. Issues grow there. You got to be mindful. Did you know that the reason that we have the Sabbath, which is today, the reason that we celebrate it and we keep it holy is because you have to take a break from your mind. When's the last time you took a vacation from your mind? When's the last time you shut down your mind? When's the last time you started tending to your mind, tending to your thoughts, tending to what you're feeling and tending to the realities that you like? When have you ever went in and just cleaned house? That's why you got to clean all the leaven out of your house. That's what all that's about. There's some thinking, some thoughts, some realities, some habits that keep us in things. Then, you know, it's very interesting, guys. It's very interesting. I wrote this down because I love this quote. Putting down what doesn't work in order to stay close to what is sacred. A lot of the stuff that we do doesn't work. For instance, how many born again believers do you know that go out on the streets to lay hands on the sick, time in, time out, day in, day out, and they see nothing? They see no manifestation. They see no moves of God. And they're still out there and they're doing it and they're teaching people how to do it, even though they're not producing what it is that they're teaching other people to do. And so we teach people because we have to show them to lay hands on the sick. We have to show them to minister. But there's this thing that's missing in it all. And it's how you weed out the tares from your mindset and your beliefs and your habits and what you're doing on the inside within what I would call behind the veil. And there's a training that happens behind the veil. I had this conversation. I was having breakfast with Pastor Mark this morning. You know, and we had a long talk, man. We talked for 2 hours, man. He's an amazing man of God. He's a chaplain. He works with, home care people that are hospice, and he's there for them. And he walked away from a pastor's position, and he said that he just wanted, his words were, and I say this because it's so right on, his sheep weren't growing, but that isn't what got him, is that he wasn't growing either. And I was like, my God, like, bro, you're so honest. And he's like, I knew that there's more. There has to be more. And it just felt like, how can I lead them into something that I'm still searching for? And it's admirable. You know, he did what he needed to do, you know, and he's being used by God, amazing man of God. But that's what we run into as a whole within the body, is that we talk kingdom, we teach kingdom. We stand on the word, we'll stand strong, but we should be expecting certain things from God. Certain things should be manifesting in our world. And so I believe with all my heart that when God gave us dominion, he gave dominion to the soul. And the soul is what takes thoughts captive. The soul is what tells the mind how to think, because we have to renew our minds, right? Be transformed by, do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we have to conform into the image of Christ. So obviously we were in the image of the world. And so how does this process work? And this process works that you have to understand that all your training is inward. It's not outward. It's all inward, like how you talk to yourself. Now, I'm going to give you some things that I do, and they work. Believe it or not, with, you know, people say, how do you know they work? Because I see it. I see the fruit of my labor. I see what happens with this way of thinking. I see what happens because I'm training even when I'm not moving. I'm training even when I'm sitting there. I'm training all the time. I'm training my mindset. I'm clearing out weeds in my mind. I'm going through my thoughts. I'm going through my belief systems. I'm going through them with a rake. I'm raking through them as I'm sitting there. I read, I study, I write things down. I'm like, man, I gotta stay focused, man, on the things of God, because this is what I'm about. You know, I know the power of my purpose. The power of my purpose, I want to bring a generation into the fullness of who Christ is. But there's a lot going on that we're not addressing because we think everything's a spirit. And the reality is that when you're in the Christ, it's not the spirits that you're fighting. It's the mindsets and the realities and the thoughts and the beliefs and the habits that you have that you haven't let go yet. So you got out of Babylon. You got out of Egypt. You got out of sin. You got out, but mentally you got stuck. And so how do we unstick you? How do we get you out of the funk? How do we get you out of the glue? How do we get you to start lubricating what you have on the inside of you? Because it's going to do, look, God's going to work. God's going to work. Whether you work or not, he's going to work. So we know God's not the issue. And a lot of the things that we as Christians hold on to are beliefs. And here's the key. Resentment is one of the most powerful things that will keep you from seeing some stuff and growing into some truths, because you have resentment towards your God and you don't even know you got it. You're just like, well, how come? And it's the weirdest thing. And you know it's resentment because when someone says they got blessed, and right away you say, well, how come I didn't get blessed? And how come? It's weird, man. Cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which means that, is this the knowledge of God or is this my knowledge? And it's coming against God, because you have to walk out the identity of a child of God. And the only way you can do that is you have to agree with that. Who has to agree with that? You have to agree with that, which means that you have to believe that. You can't manifest something that you don't fully believe. And you can't walk in faith if you don't fully trust. And so what is this faith that we're walking in? Is it even my faith or is it his faith? Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. And these are the mindsets. Like when I lay hands on the sick, and this is something you can think about. When I lay hands on the sick, right away, my mind's on it. My mind's on it. Like, oh, well, you know, what if? And you can't even stop it. It's going to do it. By default, it's going to do it because of my upbringing, because of the ideas and thoughts that I've had, the conversations that I had with myself for over 50 years. Come on, man. I've been thinking about certain things, feeling certain things. Like, it's a constant rehearsal. I got this rehearsal playing on in my mind, and my life is not the rehearsal. My life is what I'm animating because of the rehearsal that I keep rehearsing in my mind. I rehearse things over and over and over, and when it's time to perform, I'm only going to perform how I rehearsed. Man, I hope you guys can wrap your mind around that, you know. So one of the things that I always do when I'm laying hands on sick, I'm always performing in my mind. I'm thinking things through. How will I do this? When I lay hands on them and they do this, this is what I'm going to say. And this is how I'm going to say it according to the word of God, yada, yada, yada. And so my mind is constantly working because I don't want it to work against itself, because it can work against you guys. Either your mind is working with you or it's your assassin, straight up. It's going to assassinate everything God gave you. It's going to hide everything. It's going to lie to you. It's going to rob you. It's going to create thievery in your life. It's going to rob you of the relationships you need to have. It's going to rob you from the things that God has called you to. It's going to rob you of everything. And what you'll say is this: well, you know how the enemy works. I'm telling you how the enemy works through this podcast. Remember, we were all enemies of God, which means you were the enemy. It says we were all enemies of God by wicked works. That's what it says. So if we were all enemies of God, then we're our own enemies when Christ moves in. Oh my gosh, don't even get me going on that. If Christ moves in and you're still thinking like the old man, who's the enemy in that scenario? What are you saying, Pete? What are you saying? And this is what people say. What are you saying? That there ain't no devils? And I'm not even addressing that. I'm addressing your walk. I'm addressing your challenges. I'm addressing your devils, your demons, your issues. I'm addressing that in your life. Who is it for you? Don't worry about me. I'm not the one that's got to walk it out for you. Who is the enemy in your life? And you're going to find out 9 times out of 10, you're going to blame the devil for stuff you're doing in the flesh. And you're going to say, he made me do it. No, you listened to the flesh. You had desires. But what do you mean that there? No. When you're in Christ, the enemy's not within anymore. So when the enemy's not within, then the enemy without can do you no harm, which means there's no enemy in here anymore. So what is it? What are you dealing with? Habits? Thoughts? Stuff you're used to? Man, it's crazy how all this works. So Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that the enemy's not real. What I'm saying is don't be your own enemy is what I'm saying. We got enough going on in the world. We should be addressing the house, right? We have to address, look, judgment starts in the house of the Lord. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. You have to judge yourself whether you're in the faith or not. You have to judge yourself to see if you're in the faith. So am I in the faith? Am I in Christ? Am I thinking the way Christ thinks? Am I seeing this through the right lens? Am I seeing it the way God wants me to see? Or am I seeing it from a different perspective, from fear, from worry, from stress, from the unknown? Like, this is all stuff that plays a huge role in our walk. When you read your Bibles, do you read your Bibles to get something out of it, or do you read your Bible to become? Do you read the Bible so you can learn how to heal the sick, or do you read your Bible because you want to learn to manifest all that Christ is? You know, these are different thoughts. Like, you know, people come to the school, and one of the main questions that I ask everybody is, you know, because people think that I teach people how to heal. I said, I don't teach people how to heal. I teach people to walk out the Christ, and the Christ is the one who does the healing through you. I don't teach people how to walk in healing. I teach them to walk in the Christ. So why just focus on a little part of who you are when you can focus on all of it? And they're like, what do you mean by that? How do you focus on all of it? And I'm like, okay, so here's the mindset. Okay, I tell everybody, raise your hands, whoever wants to walk in 100% healing. I said, if you want to walk in 100% healing, raise your hand. And so everybody's hand goes up in the room. And then I say, okay, so let me ask another question. How many of you want to walk in 100% long suffering? Show your hand. And they start laughing, start giggling. Patience. Show of hands. How many want to walk in 100% patience? And they start laughing. I said, why are you guys laughing? What's funny? They're like, we never thought about that. I said, here's the thing. The only way that you can get 100% healing is if you walk out Jesus 100%. If you can walk out the fruit of the Spirit 100%, you wouldn't be asking this question. What you're saying is, how can I get more results? No, 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 no. Don't get results. Be the results of what Jesus paid for. Be the results. Don't get results. I'm not trying to get results. I'm trying to be the results of what Jesus died such a high price to give me. Jesus believed before he went to the cross. He believed through faith that I could be exactly the way that he is in this world. He believed it. He believed it before I got it. He had the faith for me to believe that I could lay hands on the sick, that I could cast out devils, that I could raise the dead, that I could cleanse the lepers. He believed it before he gave it to me. He believed it. He believed that when I die, I'm going to believe it. This is why the scriptures tell us that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the author and finisher of your faith. It's your faith, right? So what if when you give your life to Jesus, you're now in his faith because we're in the faith. So are you in the faith? Because that's what Paul said. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. He didn't say, test yourself to see if you're in your faith or the, you know, see if you have faith. That's not even what he's asking. 2 Corinthians 13:5. See, good thing I said that because I was misquoting that. 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is Paul. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. It says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. See, he's not asking you if you have, Paul's not asking him, do you have faith? Everybody has faith. Like, you ask anybody. I can go across the street to a person who ain't even born again and be like, do you have faith? Oh yeah, I have faith. I could go up to a Christian, do you have faith? Yeah, but that's not what he's addressing. He's not asking them if they have faith. He's asking them if they're in the faith. What faith is that? The faith of Christ. What Christ said. Not what you said, not what you think, not what you believe, not what you heard, what he said. And that's the faith, in the faith, in the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So we live by his faith. So that's the faith he's talking about. So your mindset doesn't understand that because your mindset is always thinking about what you can do and how you can do it. But the mindset of Christ is not what you can do. The mindset of Christ is what he can do. And he just needs a body to do it in. And you're the body. And he needs a body to do it. But he can't do it if your body's fighting what it is he wants to do. The Christ needs a body. Look, Jesus the Christ. Jesus was the body and the vessel of the Christ. Jesus the Christ. The Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. The Christ. Look, man, that, and I have to say it like this, that's an office, man. It's an office, and he needs an office, and your vessel is an office, and when the Christ comes in, it's on the inside of you, and the Christ now, he's sitting on the throne of your heart, which means he's now, and it means throne of your heart, which means that he now sits on the throne of your heart. But now the Bible says that we obey from the heart. That's the spirit. But it's the mind that has the issue. This is what the renewing of the mind is for. So we obey from the heart, not from the mind. The problem is the mind tells us what to do, and now we obey the mind, and this is where we get into issues. Is the mind's trying to tell us who Jesus is. The mind's trying to tell us what to do and how to do it. And yada. But Jesus is like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, that's not how we do it. We do it out of what I said and how I want to do it according to the word of God, because the word must become flesh. And I'm in you. And in order for the word to become flesh means that you have to become one with the reality. You have to become one with what I'm saying. You have to become one. Like, we have to become one. You cannot be a house divided. You cannot be a kingdom divided. You cannot agree with me with your heart. And then your mind, you're sitting here kicking against the pricks. You can't come against me with your mind because it ain't even you. It's the mind, and it needs to be renewed. And this is the process in the kingdom of God. God is teaching us through the Holy Spirit to be sons of God. Sons of God have an inheritance, but a lot of sons of God don't learn to walk in their inheritance. A big difference. A lot of children of God, and I don't mean this to pick on anyone, I'm just being honest. A lot of sons of God don't want to be sons of God. They just claim to be sons of God, which means that we kind of just go to church. We read our Bible once in a while. We don't fully submit ourselves to God, just on Sundays. And then when we really need to show up as sons of God, then that's when we're going to do it. But you should have been training the whole time. You should have been learning how to lay hands on the sick. You should have been learning how to take thoughts captive. You should have been constantly doing this and sharpening yourself with the scriptures and learning to defend yourself against everything that's coming against you. And so a lot of people that say, well, how come, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe I have faith. Okay, well, everybody has that. Everybody claims that. But we got to become that. So how do you become what it is you believe? And you do that through practicing. You do that by doing it, by doing the work. It says that strong meter for those who have exercised the views, right? Learn to discern good and evil. So you have to exercise what's right and what's wrong. You have to exercise how you do it. And even Jesus said that he came to do the work of the Father. And he said that the meter for those who do the work of God and the work of the kingdom. So we're out here to do some work. The problem is we're too busy doing the work for Pharaoh. And then when God wants us to do work, we don't know how. But Pharaoh could tell you to change a tire and you know how to do it. Pharaoh will tell you, you know, how to mow the lawn and you'll do it. Pharaoh will tell you how to build a wall and you'll do it. Pharaoh will tell you how to do all kinds of stuff and you'll do it because Pharaoh's been training you since you were born. But then God shows up. He's like, all right, we got a kingdom to build and I need you to go over here and lay hands on the sick, which is very interesting because in the kingdom of Pharaoh, you can go, you can be a doctor after 10 years and Pharaoh will train you how to be a doctor. Pharaoh will train you how to be a dentist. Pharaoh will train you how to do all the things that you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God, but you do it Pharaoh's way. But when the people of God show up and we're supposed to be laying hands on the sick and walking into the full manifestation of God's glory, we don't know how to do it because Pharaoh's been telling us how to do stuff since we've been here. That's a whole nother conversation. See, nobody wants to have that talk because the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And when Jesus said that, he wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were robbing the people of God of everything that Jesus came to give them. And so if you're very religious, you're going to be a robber. And if you act like a Pharisee, you're going to be a thief and a killer. And I don't know if you know this, the Bible says that the enemy is a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing, which means that he's already in the fold. So it's Christians you need to worry about. It's the people of God that you need to worry about. And what happens is they live in the flesh, they live in a carnal realm, and they go about trying to do good carnally, and we know that don't work. You can't go around doing good carnally because at some point you're going to get mad. At some point you're going to get frustrated. At some point you're going to get tired. At some point you're just going to snap. And that's what happened with Moses when he struck the rock. He got frustrated and he struck the rock, and he couldn't go into the promised land because God said, you misrepresented me. I was never angry, Moses. You were angry. You struck the rock. I never told you to struck the rock, but when you struck the rock, the people saw you were representing me. And when you struck the rock, they said, God's angry. I was never angry. You misrepresented me. Get your emotions into control. That's what all that's about. Get your thoughts into control. Come on, man. How you gonna take this stallion into battle if it wants to go do what it wants to do? Remember, we're going into battle. We battling life. We battling some things. We riding a steed, man. We doing what we gotta do. You got a bit in your mouth. Control that thing. Control what you're saying. Control what you're thinking. Come on, man. This is a vessel. This vessel was given to us to house the Spirit of God. It was given to us to house the power of God. How are we going to use the power on everybody else and not use the power to control where we go and what we say and how we do things? That's true power, man. True power is always used on self first. And this is why God uses shepherds. Because shepherds have power, but they guard the powerless and the dumb. That's a shepherd. A shepherd has sheep that's dumb and powerless. And that's what a shepherd is. A shepherd takes care of the dumb and powerless. Guys, everyone who's not born again, who doesn't understand the things of God, is foolishness unto them. And God has given us a responsibility to go to these people and use our power to protect them and lead them and guide them and teach them and show them and shepherd them, right? That's the key. And we don't really teach that. We teach moves of God and power of God. And everybody now wants to be a prophet. Everybody now wants to be, you know, an apostle. Like all these name tags. I just want to serve. What do you think about that? I just want to serve. Can we do that? Can we do that? Does everybody just want to be the next big thing? Like, come on, man. The greatest thing of all is to serve. The greatest thing is to be humble. And guys, if you've seen my videos, you know better than anybody. I went through the ringer, man. I went out there, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a season. We all have to learn. We all have to go through it. But this is the mindset. Like, you have to train the mind through all this stuff. You're going to deal with pride. You're going to deal with frustration. You're going to deal with people challenging you. You're going to deal with, how do I answer a question without sounding arrogant? How do I answer a question without demining or belittling someone? How do I not look arrogant? How do I change this look on my face when I'm being challenged, that I'm really concerned about where we're at as friends, and I don't want to really, like, look at you disrespectfully or say something or respond in a way that will ruin our relationship? Like, this is what it's about. Because that's serving God. That's serving. Serving is not me going over here and bringing you some water. Serving is serving God. And when you serve God, you do everything he tells you to do. And I love that the Bible says that David did everything that God had commanded him to do in his heart. And he said, for your name's sake. So David was after God's heart because he did everything that he said. And so you want to serve? Start serving him. Start serving what he said. Train there. See, a lot of, and it's hard, man. It's hard. They never said it was going to be easy, but it is what it is. It is what it is. And this is what a marriage is about. When you're in a marriage, you're going to learn this better than anything. Are you serving your wife or are you serving God? You know, I had this conversation with my wife. It was a good conversation. I told her, I can never be what you want me to be. It'll be an injustice to you to be what you want me to be. Because I don't even think you even know what you want me to be. I think those are your feelings and your emotions and you want certain things. I need to be what God has called me to be. I need to be the husband that God has called me to be. And I can't have you be the wife I want you to be, because I might be selfish about what I want. It might not even be what I really want. It might just be what I want at the time. But if you could be everything that God wants you to be, then it's win-win. Because if you could be what God wants you to be, and I could be what God wants me to be, then there shouldn't be any issues in the marriage. The marriage should grow and flourish and be strong. And we come together. And it's the mindset behind that. Like, how are you thinking about certain things? Like, you know, I'm like, hey, man. And, you know, the other day, you know, because I have to eat a certain way because I'm trying to reach a certain goal. I went to the store and I bought, you know, chicken, a bunch of chicken and some, I spent almost $60, and I'm going to cook this meal, and I'm thinking, you know, I'll make enough for the family, but tomorrow I have some, so I can eat some tomorrow when I get out of the gym. And it's chicken and rice, and it was butter chicken. I made some Indian food or whatever, and so it took me an hour and 20 minutes to make it all, because, you know, I like to cook from scratch. It's kind of how I work. I like to. So anyways, so I made this meal, and it was a lot, and I told my son, I said, hey, even eat as much as you want. I'm assuming he knew I meant just that meal. Eat as much as you want. I learned a valuable lesson. Don't tell that to your kids. Say, hey, only eat what you're going to eat. Leave the rest for tomorrow. But I didn't tell them that. So what happened is I went down there after the gym the next day, and it's all gone. And it was a lot. It was for a whole family. And my son, he works out. He goes to the gym, so he eats a lot. And I went down there, and I didn't see it in there. And I'm like, my God. I told Katie, I said, where's the food at? I just cooked a bunch of food in here. Where's it at? And she's like, where's the rice? So I had to wait for Avon to get up. But I had to really think, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to have this talk with him? Because he's done it before. But I don't want to, like, so I told my wife, I said, let me think about how I'm going to talk to him. Let me think before I speak. So he came up, and I was like, I had to get through that. Because I'm like, man, bro, like, and here's the thief. Here it is. And this wasn't me. This is why I know it's not me. The thief is telling me this. So what's he thinking? That you're just cooking for him? Is that what he's thinking? That you're just here to cook for him? So all the money you spent and all the food you cooked and that whole hour and a half and everything he made was just for him. So that's his mindset. Like, you're going to cook for me and I'm going to eat it all. And I don't care, and I'm not going to think about you, and I'm just going to eat it because I'm selfish. This is the mind. I'm selfish and I'm going to eat it all, and the heck with you. And this is this plane, and I have to, like, hey, hold up. Hold up. That's the evil inclination, man. That's the flesh. That's carnality. That's the yetzer. And I'm like, okay, hold up. I did, in fairness, tell him, eat as much as you want. So I'm looking for the good in it. And I'm like, okay. So he already ate it all. I can't fix it. So I have to talk to him. And I say, hey, son. He got up. I say, hey, let me ask you something. I said, hey, everything that I bought yesterday was like $60. And I cooked an hour and something, almost an hour and a half to cook that meal. I only ate one bowl because I was going to eat it the next day, me and your mom. And where did it all go? Did you eat it all? And I said, you weren't thinking about your dad? Like, you think I just cooked all that so you could eat it? Like, is that the mindset? Like, what are you doing? Like, and I said, I'm not mad because I told you eat as much as you want. So that's my fault. But next time you do that, don't do that. But don't misunderstand me. I was like, well, I'm dad, and how dare you eat my food? And I cooked it, and I, how dare you? And you know better. And but I know better than to get mad. I know better than to lose it. I know better. So I have to see it from where's Christ in the middle between me and Avian. And the Lord took me back to when Moses, they were dying of thirst, right? They were thirsty. And God told Moses to go to the cliff of the rock, and he told him to strike the rock. And he said he would put his spirit between him and the rock. And he told him that I want you to strike through me. So Moses was supposed to strike through the spirit of God, hit the rock, and hit the side of the mountain, and this rock is supposed to come off. That's what happens when you speak to someone. Christ is in the middle. And he told Moses, strike to kill. Because when you strike, if you're going to strike, strike to kill. Don't just strike. And that's the mindset. So if you're going to strike, strike to kill. But before you strike, strike yourself. That's what that's about. And so Moses, when he struck the rock, he was misrepresenting God. And he was teaching them, strike to kill. Because that's what was on the inside of him because of Egypt. And so when I'm looking at Avian, I'm remembering that. And the Lord said, I'm putting my spirit between you and him. And if you're going to strike, strike to kill. But you have to go through the spirit of God to strike to kill, which means that you're going through God to hit that person. And that's another mindset, because to go through God to strike to kill is something's going to happen. Because you have to go through God to do that. And so I had to remember that. And so I'm like, Word strike, man. And they strike to kill. This is why the Bible says that if you have anger towards someone in your heart, it's murder. Because words strike. And the heart is the rock. That's why it says, remove your heart of stone and turn into flesh. And we speak to the heart. And Moses, when he was speaking to the rock in the desert, he's speaking to the heart of the people. And it also represented the heart of God. And it said that it was Jesus that followed him through the desert. And it was spewing water, which means that rock represented Christ. And he was supposed to speak to Christ every day. And he was supposed to shoot water. And there was going to a million gallons a day for the people, because it would speak to the rock. And if you spoke to the hearts of the people like you spoke to that rock, you might get some water out of them. But since you keep striking it and you keep misrepresenting God with your words and how you speak it, you're robbing them of everything that God has for you. You're robbing them of my image. You're robbing them. And so the image and the thief in the mind will rob people of the image of Christ. They'll rob them of who Christ is for, and it'll rob them of everything that God is trying to give them through you. And then it'll rob you from experiencing everything that Christ is for you, so he can do it through you. And it robs you all the way around. It's very, very interesting how that works. I'm hoping that you guys can catch that. And as you begin to go out, and you start ministering to people, remember that you have words that strike, and their words are powerful, you know. And this is what the whole rock in David's hand is. He threw the word, man. The word, man. The rock, it hit him, pow, took him out, you know. But we're supposed to use that word on us, and we're supposed to die at Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. That's where we die. We don't allow the Christ to speak from Golgotha. We die in Golgotha. We die at the place of the skull. We die here, and we speak from the heart. And it says, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And that's the key, right? So now, I want you to start using that on yourself. You begin to train inwardly how you speak to yourself, how you think of yourself, what you're thinking when you're laying there, and the habits you're creating, and the words and the conversations and the narratives that you're creating and drawing out and thinking through and imagine. I want you to sit there and I want you to think about how you let the enemy and the thief of your mind create a narrative for you. And then you get up in the morning and you start living that narrative out, man. If you got bitterness in your heart and you went to sleep angry, which you shouldn't, the Bible says don't go to sleep angry before the sun goes down. If you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning, you start playing that mess in your head. You start playing that movie. You're rehearsing. When you see that person in the morning, you won't be hot as fish grease. Oh, you gonna be hot. Woo. Why? Because you've been rehearsing it and you ready. And I used to do this. I used to drive in a car. I remember me and Katie used to get into an argument and I'd be like, I'd be acting it out like, and then she wouldn't even be in the car. I know you guys have done that. Don't sit there and tell me you ain't done it. You've all done it. You've all sat there in the car. You've all went before your boss, before you talked to him. You all had your little conversation, little B-roll going on, like playing it in your head, like this is how it's going to be. And this one. And then you might even tell your friends, well, the next time I see him, I'm going to let him have, I'm going to tell him this and this and this. And then if you didn't even do that and you have a friend, and you might even lie to him and be like, yeah, man, you know, I let him have it. I told him how it was. He was like this. And then he was sitting there. He didn't know what to say. That's a whole narrative. That's that whole narrative I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it starts creating a reality, man. You allow your carnal mind to create a reality. It starts creating for you. And then it creates a world and it throws you in it. And then you're stuck in this world and you're like, what is going on? So what if I could teach you how to see the kingdom in everything? What if I could teach you to see what it is that God wants you to see? What if you could actually feel God breathing on you and through you? What if you realize that what's on the inside of you through the Spirit of Christ, because it says that all things were created by him and for him and through him. What if you realize that you were connected to everything that God created? What if you're connected to it, like in the spirit? What if like you're made of the stuff, right? What are you saying? Is this like a wholeness? Is this like one? Is this like the Tao, the way? No, this is all Bible. This is all Bible. The Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about that. We're all one. He is one. And God knows everything because everything came from God. So that's how come he knows everything, because he knows himself. And if he knows himself, then he knows everything because everything came from him. So he's not questioning himself. So if he's not questioning himself, why are you questioning yourself? And did you know that God's word is so stable that everything exists from it? And it all is held together by the word of God. And you can bet on that. You could gamble on, don't gamble, but you can gamble on that, that his word's going to win every time. And if you could partner with that, if you could partner with the things of God, you were good, man. You were good. And, you know, I'm not even talking about looking at things in the world. Wait till you start using this on scripture. Wait till you start looking into the word of God. And then the word of God starts talking to you, or it starts showing you things that you never saw before. And you're like, what is going on? What is happening? And the scriptures will speak to you. It's the weirdest thing. You know, I used to do this thing at the school, and I still do it. We call it homework. And homework is when I would take a bunch of people to the movie theater and I'd say, here's what we're going to do. Now, I don't recommend you do this, because some people might frown on it. Some people might, oh, that's crazy. You guys going to the movies, this and that, right? But here's what's interesting. Think about the movie that's playing in your head all the time. Is that godly? Because you're entertaining yourself all day long with what you're thinking. You're entertaining yourself with what you're imagining. You're entertaining yourself all day long. Ain't nobody questioning you there. The only difference is that's doing it for free. Like you're allowing, I mean, to the movies, at least you're paying for a ticket. But when it's in your head, you're letting it live there for free. And it might live there for 20, 30 years. It might live there for 40 years. It might be there for 50 years. It might be there your whole life, a narrative that's been playing over and over in your head. And who's the actor in that story? You are. And how can you get up? That's the narrative of the character that your mind is creating. Your mind's trying to create a character. When the Holy Spirit's trying to create the realities of the kingdom of God. And then wants you to walk in the character of Christ. So there's the character that your mind is creating, and then there's the character of Christ that the Bible is trying to draw you to. And so there's a character. What character are you living out? What character are you living? What character? Man, this stuff is true. I'm sorry. Guys, I'm sorry. People get mad at me when I say this. Look, you cannot live in a bubble. If you live in a bubble, you're going to have problems. If you raise your kids in a bubble, they're going to go into the real world and they are going to struggle. They are going to get hurt. They're going to fall if you raise them in a bubble. I'm not saying don't separate them. What I'm saying is don't create a bubble. Let them feel it. Let them feel the burn. Let them feel the hurt. Let them feel the struggle. Let them fall, man. Like, it's all about falling and failing and learning. And not that you should, but you're going to. So I'm not saying practice and failure. What I'm saying is you're going to fail whether you want to or not. The question is how are you dealing with it and how are you practicing when you're getting up? Like, what are you doing? And you're going to fall. It says, righteous man, fall seven times. Not that I want you to fall, but best believe me, you're going to fall. We're all going to fall. We're all going to have issues. We're all going to have problems. We're all going to struggle. All of us. So how do you train someone to get back up? Well, you got to counsel them. The Holy Spirit's a counselor. And the counselor's going to tell you, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? You ever done that to your kids? What were you thinking? Here's one. What are you thinking about? Man, you guys know I'm hitting on something. You know I'm hitting on something because I'm talking to a lot of you. Hear me out. This is the part of the kingdom we don't address. This is the stuff that we label spirits, devils, and demons, and then we kind of like, hey, let's pray against them. You know, it's, hey, okay, cool. But what about your thoughts? Well, that's the devil making me think that. That's not true because the Bible says, cast down every imagination. So is it his imagination or is it your imagination? Bring every thought captive. So is it his thought or your thought? Because God doesn't take his thoughts captive. And God doesn't renew the devil's mind. So the enemy has access to your mind? That's a crazy thought. Or is it the unrenewed mind? Not that the devil doesn't exist. But what I'm saying is we're birthed in that. Is what I'm saying. Like, you used to think like your daddy, the devil. So the habits and the ideas and thoughts and behaviors are already there. This is why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is so important. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. Okay, so if you don't ever renew your mind, you can't be transformed. You will be the same carnal Christian, struggling, having issues your entire walk, falling apart, losing your mind, in depression, losing it. You're going to be a crazy creature. You need to be renewed in the mind. You need to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. You got to be transformed. Man, this stuff takes work. And nobody can do that except you. Nobody. Nobody's responsible for that. But you. You will be held accountable for what you say. And every idle word and what's said and what not said and what you did and what you did. You're going to be held accountable. And no one's going to be able to say, well, I didn't know what to do. Yes, you did. You listened to Pete's podcast. You listen to the All Jesus podcast. Pete told you what it was. He was hitting on it. He told you about your thoughts and your mindset. He told you, but you didn't want to listen. How do you know? Because Pete didn't want to listen either. Don't nobody want to listen. That's the point. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants the truth till you give it to them. Everybody. Just tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. You shouldn't have told me. You shouldn't have told me. That's what it's about. But it's the truth that sets you free. It sets you free from the lie. Once again, it's a mindset. And this is what I do, right? I get up in the morning, and I'm just telling you my regimen. I get up in the morning, and before I see anybody, I talk to God. I'm not going to talk to anybody till I talk to God. And I'm not going to face the world till I face my God. That's just what I do. So I'll sit there. I'll talk to him for a little bit. I'll get on my face, right? And I'll be like, hey, Lord, thank you. Thank you for another morning. I bless you. I bless the day. Thank you, Father. Thank you for who you are in my life. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm everything you say I am. I thank you that I'm an extension of your heart and of your hands, Father. And I thank you that everything I touch in your name is going to prosper. I thank you, Lord God, that everywhere I go, Father, everything's in awe of who you are in my life. It's not even about me. It's about you. I thank you for you being in the forefront of my life. I thank you that you go before me and behind me and that I'm the head and not the tail. And I thank you that I'm above and not below. And I thank you that you're there in every area of my life. I thank you for revelation. I thank you that everything I see the purity of your heart. I thank you that I see the light. I thank you that I don't focus on the darkness. I thank you that darkness is not the issue. It's the absence of light that's the issue. I thank you that I'm going to be the light. Man, oh my gosh. Man, that's real talk. And I'm out there. And I'm like, you guys have no idea. Like, I'm ready. And then when I'm working out, man, I'm like, come on, man. Come on. I'm ready. I'm getting sharp. I got to keep my mind ready, right? Because I got to produce something. What am I producing? I'm producing the sun. And it's the mindset. And you got to be strong. You can't be afraid. And guys, the only way to conquer fear is to go through it. The only way to conquer hurt is to go through it. Because remember, you're more than a conqueror. Conquerors conquer stuff. They don't just go through it. They conquer it. And so how do you conquer your walk? You got to walk. How do you conquer pain? You got to have some pain. How do you conquer wisdom? You got to go through some stuff. How do you conquer stuff? You're a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And you got to go through it. This stuff doesn't just happen. I'm sorry. It doesn't. It doesn't just happen. So I'm going to tell you guys a story. There was this student. He was he's very zealous, very loud, very competitive, just obnoxious, loud, and the power of God flowed through him. And he saw many miracles. And he had a master. And the master tells him, hey, I need you to do me a favor. He says, I want you to sit by the river. And I want you to study the river. And I want you to tell me everything that you learned from this river. Right? And he's like, well, I got to learn the river. Why is this just... And he says, how will I know I'm done? He says, I want you to sit there for 3 days and study this river. So he sits there for 3 days. And he studies this river. Right? And on the third day, he sees a monkey coming out of the bush from across the river. And it swings off a vine and it jumps into the river and it starts playing and making noise. It's getting really loud and it's like messing with his meditation. So he starts getting angry because the monkey's kind of interrupting his meditation and his pondering and his serious work. And so then the master comes and he says, what did you learn? He said, man, I didn't learn anything. He said, I sat there for 3 days. Man, I could tell you every rock. I could tell you every tree. I could tell you, you know, what time the sun sets on it. I can tell you, man, I could tell you everything about that river, but I didn't learn anything. He said, but there was this thing that happened on the third day. This monkey swung into the river and kind of messed up my whole meditation. He started jumping around and laughing, and having a great time. And the master said, the monkey heard. You just listened. The monkey heard. You just listened. Man, that story speaks to me, man. Because sometimes we can get so carried away on what we got to do that we forget that we're doing all that to become free, to become full of joy, to become everything that God is. It's not that hard of a chore when you realize that the outcome of everything that we're doing is to become like him. And that's the joy. And so the river represents life, and he was just looking at life, but he didn't know what he could get from it. But it's about diving into life and enjoying it, not studying it, not breaking it down. And that's what all that's about. And it's a beautiful reality. And there's another story about a teacher who's on a long journey and he goes to the same river, but the river's moving really fast and he has to cross the river because he's on a long journey. And instead of crossing the river because he thinks he's going to drown because it's really strong and the current's strong, so he says, hey, I'm going to spend the whole day here and I'm going to build a raft. So this master builds a raft and he puts it together. It takes him all day to do it and he has to make sure it's strong. And so he puts all his effort into this thing. He goes across the river. And when he gets to the other side, he's like, man, that was rough. He said, but what if there's another river? Because I got a long journey. So he straps the raft to his back and he's off. And after about a mile or so, he's like, all right, it's getting dark. And he's like, okay. So what's he do? He breaks the raft up into a bunch of pieces. And he creates a pile. And he begins to do a ritual. He does a ritual in his heart. And hear me out, guys, if this is you. He does a ritual in his heart. And he burns the raft. He burns it. And when the master gets to the end of his journey, he tells a story. And they said, why did you burn the raft? And his quote was, I'd rather burn you in reverence than to carry you on my back my entire life. You know what happens when you carry something on your back, guys? It creates resentment. So he said, I would rather burn you in reverence than to carry you on my back with resentment all the rest of my life. And there's a lot of us that carry things because we think we need them on our journey. Maybe habits, worries, struggles, anger. And the reality is they just cause resentment. And it's crazy because, like I said earlier, putting down what doesn't work in order to stay close to what is sacred, you got to put down what doesn't work, man. If that way of thinking doesn't work, put it down. If your conversations are causing issues, put them down. A lot of us hold on to them because they're weapons and tools that we think keep us safe, but they're only damaging us. And anything that you use against someone else in the kingdom of God comes back to you because you're striking yourself. And I say this to say that the thief of the mind is there to rob you of everything that God said he is for you. And be aware when you're thinking. Be mindful, right? Be mindful. And I'm here, guys, to help you because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the things, you know, the journey, the struggles, the hurt, the brokenness, the bruises, like all this internal stuff that you have to address. And really, God just wants you naked before his eyes. He wants you raw before him. He just wants the real you. And all that other stuff is not even you. It's a shadow. It's the thief, man, that walks into your life. It's the sleeper who takes control of your vessel and has you walking in a way that just causes so much havoc. And there's freedom from that. And I say this because I was never taught what it is that I'm talking about. I learned it the hard way. And the reality is it shouldn't be heavy if you're standing on the shoulders of the master and he can carry the weight with you and he can teach you how to carry it. And so it's how do you carry this revelation? How do you carry this truth without causing issues in other people's hearts? Because you have to explain it to them in a way that they'll understand. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying, but I say this to say that this is why I dug this well. This is why I have this podcast. I have this podcast because I'm hoping that you grow from my faults, that you learn not to do them, and you're going to fail, and you're going to have issues, and you're going to have struggles, and you're going to go out there, and there are going to be people who are not going to be as excited as you are, and there are going to be people who are not going to care. And guys, I'm here for you. I want to be a voice for you to help you, and that you could come and listen to the All Jesus podcast and listen to it. I even listened to it, guys. I was listening to the last podcast when I was in the shower, and I was like, I need to listen to what it is that God is saying to me, because he's saying this to me, and he's saying it through me. So it affects me as well, and I'll listen to it, and I'm like, man, God, that is so good. Like, that has to be you, because that's ministering to me. Like, I'm ministering to myself. And it's the most beautiful thing ever, because I know it's God, because it's a hit in me. And so what I'm saying, I'm going to listen to this later on and it's going to hit me, because it's the heart of God. And I want to make sure that the heart of God is present in my podcast, you know? And so guys, I love you guys. I'm getting a little emotional because we're all struggling, but God is good. And I'm getting emotional because God didn't give up on me, and he won't. He doesn't have any quit in him. So even if you fail in this life, even if you don't think you're doing what you need to be doing, God will not give up on you. He sent you a helper to help you to find your footing and to find your strength so you can stand up. And he has dreams for you, and he wants you to live the life that he created you to be. And he loves you, and he adores you, and you're his precious possession. And he's done everything to bring you to a place where you can recognize who he is for you, so you can begin to to function and move in the kingdom of God in a way that just brings so much glory to his name, because it's for his name's sake. And you didn't ask to be born. That means that he created you with a purpose. That means he thought of you. Like, before you were here, he thought about you. He thought about who you were going to be. He thought about everything that you are. Like, he thought about you. He had you in mind. Like, he had a purpose. And when it was dark and void, he thought about you. And the fact that you're here proves it, because you're not a mistake. And he loves you. And if he created you, then that means he already had a purpose for you. And so he doesn't make junk, man. And if you're here, it's because he has something for you, and he has a calling for you, and he has a truth and reality and a life for you in Christ. And the beautiful thing about it is, if he created you and he's your father, then he's responsible for taking care of you, and he's responsible for everything that comes your way. And he is responsible, because you didn't ask to be created. He created you because he loves you, and he already knew, he foreknew what you were going to be and how you were going to do it. And it was all within his will, within his spirit. And this flesh does not want to enter that walk, because it's for us all. We're all he has a purpose for all of us in the spirit, and it's all to be like Christ. And it's in that everything begins to bloom. And I want you to bloom. I want you to bloom, man. I want you to bloom. Because God needs to smell that aroma of a blooming child who's blooming into everything that he says you are, man. It's a beautiful reality if you can wrap your mind around that. And you'll begin to walk in that, you know. And he loves you. So, guys, I love you guys in the name of Jesus. It's Good Friday, man. It's a beautiful day today, and I came on early. So, guys, if this has blessed you, if this has helped you, I have a PayPal. It's Pete Cabrera Jr. Ministries at yahoo.com down at the bottom. If you give, praise God. If you don't, praise God. I'm going to be here faithful. The Lord said, dig a well. He said, feed my sheep. He said, dig a well and I'll fill it. People will come and drink from it. And that's what I'm doing. And guys, I love you guys in the name of Jesus. So yeah, man. So guys, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys for coming on. I love you guys. Don't be afraid to subscribe to my YouTube channel if you want to. You can go to my Spotify and iTunes, and I have it. I'll load all this up there on there, and you can go to there too. But guys, I love you guys in the name of Jesus. If this helps you, share it, send it to someone, and we're going to go from there. So guys, oh! Jesus. Come on.
Jesus is the real star. I'm just his hype man.
In Your Face section with Pete Cabrera Jr.
Oh, Jesus, baby.
Yay.
Hey, guys, thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. I love you guys in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being faithful and tuning in. Guys, pray for me. Pray that God gives me revelation for his sheep, that he gives me revelation and words of encouragement, that people will walk out who the Christ is. This is the most powerful thing you'll ever do, man, is giving your life to Jesus. Look, hear me out. Jesus didn't die for your personal sin. He died for sin. All sin. And I say this because it becomes personal. Just like Christ becomes your personal savior when you don't address it. That's what I love about it. So when you give your life to Jesus, he becomes a personal relationship. And when you have personal sin, it's because you take it on personal and it becomes an identity. But he died for the sin of the whole world. He died for sin in general. Whether you'd have had it or not, he'd have died for it. The fact that you have it is because the fall put it on you. He didn't put it on you. The fall put it on you. And as a child of God, you have no lot in that. He doesn't want sin on you. He wants to get rid of all sin, all of it. And he loves you. So guys, if you haven't given your life to Jesus and you're hearing this podcast for the first time, I just ask right now that you come to a place in your heart and in your mind, and that you ask God to make himself real, that you repent from everything that you thought you were, and that you submit to the realities of everything he says you are. So what you think and what he says are two different realities, and what he says stands. And what you think, you go from one thought to another, and that'll shake. That won't last. So guys, in the name of Jesus, I love you guys. So yeah, so be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. I love you guys. Jesus is the real star. I'm just his hype man. Have an amazing Good Friday. In Jesus' name, Jesus is risen. Jesus is the real star. I'm just his hype man.